Forgive me here, I grab the wrong piece of paper. Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason... I'm sorry. Okay. I know that Dr. Horvath was so kind to send me some information about his background, and I cannot find it. So my apologies to Dr. Horvath. He is going to be speaking about ascertaining knowledge of partner HIV status and its association with HIV risk behavior. May I ask you, where are you from? Oh, up there.
Yeah, University of Minnesota.
University of Minnesota.
I have a very illustrious and long CV.
He's written many,
so which
many
I brought with me, and I'll go through it right now.
Thank you.
Okay, not to be outdone by Dr. Ross, or I'll be giving a 10-minute fireworks show. So, okay. So, so what I'd like you to do, thank you, Dr. Chakraborty, for inviting me to be part of this exciting and engaging set of talks on the future of HIV prevention for MSM. And for the next 12 minutes, I want you to sort of think about the people who we provide intervention and treatment services for, and you yourself, how do we ascertain our sexual partner's HIV status? Okay. I, nor any of my co-authors, have any relationships to disclose. I feel like it's a campaign message. I approve this message. So, as way of background, HIV status disclosure has been widely promoted as a sexual risk reduction strategy to assess the risk entailed in a sexual encounter, to possibly choose partners who share the same HIV status, and to negotiate sexual positions that may reduce the risk of HIV infection or transmission. However, the association between HIV status disclosure and safer sex is tentative at best, although some studies show a significant association between disclosure and a reduced likelihood for unprotected anal intercourse. Others, including a recent study that Dr. Rosser and I published, show no association when you account for other communication factors. Perhaps the most important thing to remember about this background slide is that some research suggests that inconsistent disclosure may be riskier than consistently disclosing or non-disclosing to sexual partners, which sort of sets the premise up for our analyses. So, the purpose of this study was to then explore strategies used by men who have sex with men, or MSM, to ascertain the service status of their sexual partners and to determine what relationships such strategies have with high-risk sexual behaviors. The sample for this study came from those who completed the baseline measures of the MINCE2 study that was described earlier by Dr. Rosser. And of the 650 men who completed baseline measures, 10 of men were dropped for reporting no sexual partners in the past 3 months. So we had a final sample of 640 men. Okay, the measures that we use for this study and that are relevant to this study include demographics, of course. So the average age is 34 years, most were white or Caucasian, most were HIV negative, lived in a large city, either downtown or in a suburb. Most were not students, but it was a highly educated sample, which isn't unusual for an internet-based sample. Most were identified as gay, and most, in fact, almost 80% were not in a long-term relationship. So, in addition, we also collected the number of unprotected anal intercourse partners in the past 3 months and the HIV status of those sexual partners. And from those two factors, we calculate the number of serodiscordant unprotected anal intercourse partners men reported in the past 3 months by adding the number of HIV discordant partners and the number of HIV unknown sexual partners, which is relevant later on in my talk. Finally, we asked participants, you know, how did they find out about their partner's HIV status? Was it from looking on an online profile reported by 85% of the sample, talking before having sex reported by 82% of the sample, talking after sex reported by 42% of the sample, or were they simply taking a wild guess? Obviously, these are not mutually exclusive. Okay. So let's get right to the results here. 91% of our sample reported unprotected anal intercourse partners in the past 3 months. There was a mean of just under 6 UAI partners and a median of about 3. 43% of the men reported, or at least we calculated, serodiscordant unprotected anal intercourse partners with a mean of about 2.5 partners and a median of 0. So this table shows all of the possible combinations of strategies that participants use to find out about the HIV status of their partners. I'll just go through a few of the highlights here. So just under a third of participants said they found out about their partner's HIV status through their online profile and through talking before having sex. So that was the most popular one. 25% of men reported finding out about their partner's HIV status through their online profile and talking before sex and talking after sex. Few men reported finding out about their partner's HIV status by only guessing or talking after sex, comprising less than 4% of the sample. This should theoretically be the most risky kind, right, if you're guessing it or if you're finding out about it after having sex. Please note that 2% of the sample said, we didn't use any of these strategies, so you're just getting the wrong thing. You're asking me the wrong thing. So, but it was only 2%. Okay. So, to examine whether inconsistent ascertaining of the partner's HIV status was more risky than using one consistent way, we analyzed whether the number of strategies to find out about partner's HIV status was associated with risk behavior. Here you see that just under 12% of the men in our sample reported using only one strategy to determine the HIV status of their partners, with talking before sex and finding out via an online profile being the two most popular types. The average unprotected anal intercourse partners for these men was 2.71 partners with a median of 2, and the average number of serodiscordant UAI partners was 1.34 and a median of 0. So notice what happens with those as we go through men who have more and more different types of strategies. So in comparison, men who report using two strategies comprised 42% of our sample and had an average of just under 6 UAI partners, a median of 3 UAI partners, as well as higher numbers of serodiscordant UAI partners and median serodiscordant UAI partners. 35% of the men reported using three strategies, and you see the trend towards increasing numbers of UAI and SDUAI partners continues upward. And finally, while only 10% of the sample reported using all four strategies, they had the highest mean and median numbers of UAI and serodiscordant UAI sexual partners. Okay, so of course, as any good epidemiologist does, we have to throw everything into a multivariate model. So to examine the relationship between the number of strategies used to ascertain HIV status and high-risk sexual behavior, we performed two multiple negative binomial regression models with the number of strategies used as a predictor and either UAI partners or SDUA partners as the outcome. And this was adjusted for age, race, HIV status, whether they're a student, whether they're in a long-term relationship, sexual orientation, comfort with their sexual orientation, where they were meeting their sex partners, and of course, number of sex partners. So what do those look like? So in the model with UAA partners as the outcome, using multiple strategies each increased the likelihood of having more UAI partners compared to using one strategy consistently. However, that effect disappeared when serodiscordant UAI was used as the outcome. Now, I'm sure all of you have already thought, well, it may be that men aren't really using much of when it comes to their serodiscordant partners, since it might just be that most of the partners we actually categorize as serodiscordant were just really HIV unknown to those men. And as you can see here, that does appear to be the case. Only 14% of the men in our sample who we categorize as having SDUAI reported knowing whether all of their partners were HIV positive or HIV negative. versus 86% of men who reported that one or more of their SUAA partners had an unknown HIV status to them. And regardless, both men, whether they had they knew all of their serostatus of their partners or not, had high numbers of SUAA partnerships. Okay, so this of course leads to a question of whether men who have sex with men who either know all of their serostatus of their partners are different than those who reported at least one partnership where they didn't know the serostatus of their partner. And from their own reports, 55% of the men who said that they knew all of the serostatus reported that they knew their partner's HIV status through an online profile or before having sex, suggesting that they knew of the risks they were taking prior to the sexual encounter. However, we did not find any significant differences in demographic factors between men who knew they were engaging in serodiscordant unprotected sex and those who at least had one unknown sexual encounter. Okay, so what can we conclude from this? So most MSM report using a proactive strategy like going online and looking at a profile or talking before sex to determine the HIV status of their partner. The most common single strategies were either talking before sex or searching an online profile. However, a substantial minority of men guess the HIV status of their partner some or all of the time. Having one consistent strategy for ascertaining partner's HIV status may be a protective factor against unprotected anal intercourse, but not serodiscordant sexual encounters. And among men who reported SUAA partnerships, both those who were guessing at their partner's HIV status and those who weren't reported high numbers of SUAA partnerships. So, what are the implications of this? We would say, first, given the ambiguity surrounding and the high likelihood of misinformation about HIV status, prevention should emphasize explicit agreements to practice safer sex rather than solely relying on disclosure or ascertainment of HIV partner status to inform their decisions. And second, interventions should be targeted to MSM who assume their partner's HIV status to increase specific safer sex behavior skills, such as negotiating condom use online before sex. And we'd like to thank our funding agency and our participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Horvath. And I do want you to know that in addition to the work that Dr. Horvath told us about right now, he is a clinical psychologist, and he did a postdoc in the program in human sexuality at the University of Minnesota. And he will be working on a project. He's a co-PA on a study to develop and test an online intervention. Thank you.